in the air down the left field line. Gone! Key Brian Hayes' first hit as a Red is a three-run homer. That's some life for Cincinnati. It's 11-6.
That's some life for Cincinnati. That's some death for Pittsburgh.
We were talking with Jason Mackey off the air, and I don't know if we're going to be able to get him on the air as Harry frantically runs out of the room. He's back now. About just how bad of a trade deadline it was for Ben Cherington and, more importantly, for Pirates fans. And you said the cherry on top is Key Brian Hayes hitting that home run. That's not the cherry on top. You were right in the moment that you said it. And then we all turned to our immediate right, and mother bleeping Derek Shelton's on TV analyzing the thing.
That'd be fair, he's not analyzing.
We got to turn Jason on. Jason throwing his arms up in frustration. Yeah, he's ready to get out. Yes, Jason.
Should I just write them on a piece of paper and hand them to you? Oh, wait. Thank you, Harry.
Probably got to turn him down a little bit now, actually, yeah.
I don't even remember what I was going to say.
Shelton.
He's probably not talking about the Pirates, right?
Well, I'm sure at some point he has to, right? I mean, if he's on there, he's talking about all the teams and all the trades. I'm sure he has to say something.
He's probably talking up the fact that the Reds got Key Brian Hayes with his UZR rating and his defensive war. Jason.
Goodness gracious.
We
an explosion right now.
We have all been through a lot as Pirates fans, as people who cover the team, observe the team, comment on the team in the case of you, all those things. And I can't remember viscerally being more down than I was after the anger had subsided following the Bailey Falter trade. I think we're going to look back on this, and it might not even take zooming out. It might not even take perspective. I think this was one of, given that you've got the best pitcher in baseball, one of the best of all time, that's one of the darkest days in the history of the organization.
It really is, man. I've been around a lot of crap with this team for, you know, a decent chunk of years. I've not seen this fan base more depressed. I've not seen it feel more hopeless. More helpless? I don't know. It's hard to explain this to people. Like, you're saying you want to get better in 2026. Okay, I get that. You have to get better in 2026. None of what they did yesterday immediately translates to that. And then so you ask yourself, okay, how are they going to get better in 2026? You're going to say, well, they're going to step back and spend this money differently. Huh? I'm going to put my hope in Bob Nutting spending money to win. I'm going to put my hope in Ben Cherington taking an offseason to fix the offense or to use trades and free agency to improve the roster. I mean, what level of trust as a fan should I have in that?
Doran's putting up a zero. I was about to do the same thing. And I'm happy you bring Cherington into that too. Because, yeah, Pirates spending money. We know how that discourse goes. And I'm not even saying that there should be a lack of nuance. Maybe that's exactly where the conversation needs to be. But from what I understand is even last offseason, Ben Cherington had more money to work with and he didn't put it into the major league club. And while he says he wants to get better in 2026, he did nothing to augment the roster meaningfully before this year. And let's say even he's given the freedom to spend $41.3 million next year.
Goodness gracious, no.
Is he even going to do it? Or is he going to say, let's get a new high rise in the Dominican Republic or put more into the spreadsheet people? I'm not even asking tongue in cheek. I'm asking.
I know. That's what I mean. Dude, I've done these columns the past couple of years looking at their off-season spending. And yes, I know they don't spend enough. I'm not. Please take that part out of it. But what they do spend is horribly inefficient. They don't get bang for their buck.
Exactly.
They don't do a good job of this stuff. They never have under this regime. And so I don't know how, as a journalist, as a conduit to fans or whatever, you're supposed to like at least try to translate their thinking or understand what they're thinking or allow them to explain themselves and look at it critically. I can't do that. You've never done something, and so the people paying tickets, supporting your team, investing their time and effort into your team, they're supposed to believe that you're going to suddenly do something that you've never done before? That's not logical. I don't know what to say. Like, if I told you I was going to scale this building, you'd probably laugh at me and say I was a moron. And as you should, because I've never scaled a building before.
Noah just said, we just had Noah on, and he said that this, that Charrington, well, allegedly Charrington said that it's going in the to phases. He's looking at it as phases. And this is the first phase. The next phase is to spend money, make some trades in the off season. Do you think he will be here to do that?
No, I don't.
So why let him do this?
I know.
You've been writing that for a long time now.
I have, and I've believed it for a long time. I will say, though, guys, yesterday was the first time where I truly questioned that, because some of what he did was so nonsensical. Like, I can't help but question it. You know, if they would have gotten through the deadline and just traded the people they could trade, and if he said without saying, like, look, there just wasn't a market for IKF, Heaney, Pham, whatever, I get it. I mean, you can't trade guys that aren't tradable. You can't force them on people. I think that's wrong, and I think there was a market for it. But if they would have done the bare minimum and gotten back what they could and just kept Falter, keep Bednar, and say, you know what, we're gonna reconstitute ourselves for next season, I'd get that. The fact that he did so much more and the Bednar return, and you're kind of like stepping out too. Like, they were talking to the Phillies about that catcher. It's not the best return they could have gotten from the Yankee system, although I don't have a problem with Flores. I'm fine there. But it's kind of questionable return, right? And, like, Charrington's opening himself up for a lot of criticism. And why, as the owner, if you're not going to keep this guy, I just don't understand why you'd allow that to happen.
It's a really good thing for them that they're on the road. I wonder what it would look like tonight at PNC Park.
Oh, yeah.
Get pretty ugly.
Because the tickets would have been sold, and people don't like to waste their money. You spend tickets, whatever the giveaway would have been. People love baseball in this town.
You think it's going to be any nicer on Monday?
Well, I think they'd have showed up. I do think, well, I know I changed. Like, now I'm getting angry again, but I was rip-roaring mad, like viscerally sports mad when the Bailey Falter deal went down yesterday.
I was too.
And then I didn't know what was going to come out of me when I turned the microphone on this morning. And, man, I think we pride our show on being real, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we bring a lot of energy every single day. I was sports depressed.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the 3 days, you know, they play that series, they come back on Monday. I wonder if the vitriol, the anger is there, or if it's this, and this is a word Doran used earlier, which I think is a good one too. I wonder if there'll be this prevailing numbness. I don't know. I'm asking the question, but I think they are probably happy that they're not at home tonight.
I agree. I mean, it's just too fresh. But I still think that when Monday rolls around, it's almost premeditated now. So, like, there's like that fine line. There's that in between where it's like, okay, like, let this die down. Maybe it goes away. But this is such a, you know, such a tender and heightened situation that the freshness that could have happened tonight becomes premeditated anger.
Yeah.
For Monday.
Yeah, that's well said.
It's premeditated. Now you're going to think about it.
I don't think it goes away, Doran.
No, it doesn't. No,
I know you're not saying.
No, I'm saying that people,
just
it's probably going to be even worse than the freshness if it were tonight. I think Monday's going to be worse than if they were home tonight, because now people are going to sit on it. They're going to think about it. They're going to think about what they want to do, what they want to say, how they want to act, what, you know, how they approach the game, if they go, whatever.
They should, like, man. Voice your displeasure.
It's going to be worse than it would if they had a home game tonight on Monday.
It's insulting to the fans. I mean, it's very frustrating. I had that feeling when we were doing a live stream, the Post Gazette, and we were watching this stuff come in real time, and trading Bailey Falter. I didn't understand it, you know. And then I see the return. I really don't understand that. And then I see Noah tweet that he was a non-tender candidate.
What the heck is that?
And I really don't understand that. I mean, that is absolutely absurd, guys. 3.73 ERA, $2.2 million contract. That is ideal spending.
He's a perfect fit for the ballpark.
I know. He's a non-tender candidate because he was going to make more money.
Well, okay. And I'm tired of, I'm not defending anything here, but I'm tired of it always bleeds down to, ownership this and ownership that. I'm not suggesting that that's all you're doing over there.
I don't care. You can. I'm frustrated with all of it, man.
Me too.
I'm not defending anybody.
Me too. And I'm defending nothing. But what I always come back to on that is Neil Huntington was good at his job. Wasn't great at his job. He was good at his job. And he was up in and tied up in the same exact situation and got them to the playoffs three times and on the precipice the next year, and he made a boneheaded trade. It can be done. It is impossible to get it done with days like yesterday. And what he never had, he had a great pitcher in Gerrit Cole. What he never had was Paul Skeens. And that's what makes this so difficult to palate here. I want to get into this when we come back, because we had the conversation on the air, Doran, and Jason actually brought it up off the air. Does Ben Cherington think he's good at this? I think he does. And I think he believes in what he's doing right now. And I think he thinks it's the right course of action for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's get into that. Coming up next, you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
It's uncomfortable. I mean, the guy's being traded. He's hugging everybody. But I do like how they've added to this group. They've added a speed dynamic. And then they've really bolstered their bullpen with, you know, closer fest now.
Brian Cashman was able to get Bednar and Doval and not give up any of his top nine prospects overall. So I think a job well done, and also proving the depth of that Yankee farm system might be underrated.
Oh, what I really needed there was Derek Shelton talking about Ben Cherington unable to get a top 100 prospect from the Yankees. But I'm guessing Harry clipped it there because Derek wouldn't go there. We are living in a simulation.
Yes, we are.
Key Brian Hayes gets traded to the Reds, makes an error, and hits a home run. That's upside down. That's backwards. And you've got Derek Shelton right now on MLB Network with Steve Phillips breaking down all the deadline moves. And he actually uttered this sentence, never been said before by Derek Shelton.
Built for October.
Built for October.
It's not a sentence. It's a fragment, technically.
Okay, well, what constitutes a sentence, Mr. Webster?
I don't know. Subject, verb, predicate? Anything? You went to Mount Lebanon. What are you doing?
He went to West Virginia.
It undid a lot of the Lebo.
Okay.
I don't know at this point in my life, because things fall out of your brain, you know, I don't know what a predicate is.
No,
I
mean,
can't even spell that. You think I know what that is?
No.
And I actually got a good education in college.
Most of the people Crowley graduated with think that's some kind of charge. Either a disease or something they shouldn't have happened.
Gum disease.
Didn't that phrase have a predicate, though? It just didn't have a subject.
Well, let's break it down.
I know. I said it wasn't a complete sentence, Callis, and then he said, what's a complete sentence? And then
Mackie hates Harry more than I do today.
He wouldn't turn my microphone on.
That's a tone violation,
I had
Mackie.
To try to prepare to get that audio. You know how many hoops I had to jump through to get that? I'm recording the whole segment. If he says something great again, we're going to be able to air it.
Wait a second. You're complaining about having to turn the microphone on of somebody in the radio studio?
No. I'm just saying that
he's not capable of doing two things at once.
Okay. Correct. I'm just saying, I feel like that's a pretty important part of a radio show.
I'm very bad at multitasking.
Yeah.
I had to multitask.
That's a good skill for a producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Built for October.
And the audio he did grab, just super high quality.
Built for October.
What, do you got a camcorder in there?
Okay, be ungrateful.
Pointed at MLB Network.
That's fine. Be ungrateful.
He took a talk boy off of Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone 2.
I already cried today.
My name is Kevin McAllister. This is Peter McAllister, the father.
You all suck.
I like a hotel room, please.
I don't like any of you.
With an extra large bed, a TV, and one of those little refrigerators you can open with the key.
No.
Credit card, you got it. Thank you.
No.
I think Kevin McAllister, if given the keys to the Pirates' kingdom, would have screwed it up less than what Ben Cherington did yesterday. For 80K.
Kevin McAllister's a little smart little kid now.
That's true.
A little genius.
They kind of did get a couple pieces of fruit stripe gum back, if we're being honest.
Which?
You follow me?
Yep.
You follow? Yeah. Doran's with me.
Yeah,
Doran's
I get with it. Me. I get it, yeah.
He didn't get it.
Home Alone 2 is a legit sequel.
It's better than the original.
It's a push.
Does Ben Cherington think he's good at this?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're convicted that they have a plan. Like, this is honestly the same strand of logic, and I covered this, that led them to take Brian Reynolds to arbitration over, like, such a nominal amount of money. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. But then Bob Nutting had to step in and say, like, what the heck are we doing? We're taking our best player to arbitration over, like, $20,000, whatever it is. Like, they're hunkered down, and they believe that this is the right way of doing things. They look at this, they look at the Bailey Falter trade and think that a 28-year-old reliever with 5 innings of MLB experience and a kid that was undrafted last year qualifies as good return because they, the people who are looking at this, they've adjudged these players to be good. And it's the same thing, like the trade return with the Yankees. They had other options, the Phillies and other people talking to them. But they really like these guys with the Yankees. Guess what? They really like Tucapita Marcano and Jack Sawinski and Henry Davis and Hudson Head and Eddie Yean and Rowanzi Contreras and Michael Escoto. Like, on down the line, man. Like, and they don't understand why people aren't going to buy that.
They need to be operating on a consensus. Guys who are liked across baseball that there's a consensus on. We think player X is pretty good.
Otherwise, don't move.
Right.
Yes.
If somebody's a top 100 prospect and that's what you're going to trade David Bednar for, fine. I heard Noah say this. I completely agree with it. People will get on board with that. That's an explainable trade. And if you stand pat and you say, hey, look, this is a really important piece to us. We're not getting that. We're holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. And that's different than a guy on an expiring contract. Instead, they held out on the guys with expiring contracts. Which also makes no sense.
Jason, to me, it feels like that was the plan initially, was to hold out to get the top 100 prospect, to get the return that was plausible, and the maybe major league bat. That was the plan, or at least that's what the thought process was that we took. And then I feel like that they panicked and were like, we have to make a
trade. We have to get something.
Yeah.
I worry about, yeah.
That's what I think happened. I think that they initially were like that.
It's either a panic move, Doran, or they're so like laser focused on this is what we think and this is what we have to have and this is what we've identified that they can't see anything else.
Right.
And they miss the rest of it. It's one of the two.
Other top 30 prospects that the Pirates have acquired from the Yankees in the Ben Cherington tenure, this from Jim Rosati, Northside Notch. Good follow if you're a Buccos fan on Twitter.com. Rowanzi Contreras, Miguel Yajuri, Kanan Smith and Jigba, Kiner Delgado, Brian Sanchez, Hoy Park, May Cole Escoto, Diego Castillo. They have honed in, zoomed in, acquired guys that they think they know better are going to pan out. Not one of those guys has. And I hope for Rafael Flores' sake, if nothing else, and for mine as a Pirates fan, that he winds up working out. I think, Jason, you're right. I think that one, people would have crushed him anyhow, but I think that one's at least explainable. Bailey Falter's not explainable. And I thought Noah crystallized it really well when the justification from Ben Cherington last night was they're moving Bailey Falter so young players can get a spot in the rotation. And then you've got IKF and you're keeping Heaney.
Yep.
And who's the third? IKF.
Fam.
And Fam.
Fam, IKF, Fam. And Heaney are the ones that kept.
I couldn't remember who I had said.
That's okay.
I'm a disgrace. I'm going to be replaced by Derek Shelton any day now. You got a big-time radio job, that Derek Shelton. Like, okay, we have created space for a youngster. You are plugging two spots in your lineup with guys that I think could have provided some level of value. IKF's a gold glove dude who's position versatile. Tommy Pham's hitting the ball as well as any player moved at the deadline, like in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And you hang on to them? Does he hang on to them? I'm asking this for real, because Rosenthal had discussed this, and we brought it up on yesterday's show. Is he hanging on to those two guys in particular, IKF and Pham, because he thinks they can win games for him down the stretch? They are 38-39.
Mm.
And maybe
the conspiracy theorists.
I got one more for you, too.
Maybe it helps them win. What's yours?
I think they're hanging on to them because they want to re-sign them.
They might. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think. I mean, why? If you're those guys and you've been to things, I tweeted something about this last night. Like, if you're Kiner Falefa, you've played for the Yankees, for the Blue Jays, you're having a decent year, you can help a contender, why are you going to hitch your wagon to Pittsburgh? Tommy Pham's been in the World Series. Heaney's been in the World Series. Why are they going to stay here if they have a choice? Maybe the Pirates would overpay. I also think that sends a horrible message from the Pirates, saying, like, here are these guys that helped us fantastically underachieve this season. Let's bring them back.
Well, yeah, it's a horrible message, but I can't figure out another angle to it. I mean, Crowley brings up a good one. Is like, all right, we're going to try to win 5 more games this year or bring them back next year because they want them a part of 2026. I have no idea.
I have an option C.
Okay.
I have an option C. And it
he's bad at this?
No. Well, this is part of being bad at it. But it's what I was saying before, that they are obstinate. They have blinders on. And what they do is the ultimate way of doing things. And so I'm pretty confident this is correct, too. I mean, this tracks with a lot of their activity. They would establish a value line for all of these guys, Pham, Heaney, you know, even the guys they traded, IKF, and they would say, okay, what's this player worth to us? And what would he be worth in terms of other teams' prospects? Can what we're getting in return meet this line? And so it's very black and white to them, where if it doesn't meet this line, they're going to not make the trade. And in a lot of cases, that makes sense. But in a case like this, it doesn't. They're on expiring deals. They're taking away meaningful reps. I'm turning it to Noah with the dramatic pauses. I'm sorry.
No.
I love you, Noah. I'm just joking. But it's very black and white that if it doesn't meet this line, they're going to turn it down. And there needs to be a gray area in times like this, guys, where you have a trade deadline and you're trying to allocate reps down the stretch to younger players. Why are you going to keep guys on expiring contracts? If your value line is here, drop it down a little lower if you get to the deadline and you're not going to move them. That's what every other team does.
Yes, because you're clogging now is what you're doing. And I'm here to tell you, the 25th best prospect in the Yankees organization at one point was Hoy Park, and that's not very good. But guess what? That's better than the nothing burger you got for those guys.
Right.
You are blocking players. Not that we believe those players that are blocked are to be very good. Like Leovair Pregare, I'd rather watch him play than IKF, all due respect.
You never know what can happen over 2 months, man. Maybe if somebody finds some time, some regular reps. Absolutely.
Right.
I'd rather see Leover Pagero go out there than Isaiah Kiner Falefa. No offense to IKF,
right,
but at least you're efforting towards something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
I mean, Jared Triolo hasn't been good, but I at least want to see him play third base for a couple months. Maybe it amounts to something.
You lost me on Triolo.
Well, I'm not presenting anything good, Adam. I'm just saying I want to look at younger players and give them a chance. I don't want to see guys who aren't going to be here next year. That's it.
I want your opinion on Terry McLaurin, and I want us to talk about that because I want to talk about something else. But you have been the Paul Skeens whisperer around here, so we do need to get into how that guy's probably feeling today. And I have to go the nuclear option. We'll run that by Jason as well.
How about the relievers? Are we paying relievers enough? We know that Derek uses them all the time, right, as the manager. I don't think we paid him enough as general managers.
No. Well, yeah, I'm not going down that alley right now.
Good analysis there from Derek Shelton as he laughs, presumably in his bathroom. That's what it sounds like, about a dig from Steve Phillips.
No, man, he's doing great. Look at that. He's not in his bathroom.
Yeah, his house is so big that it echoes.
Mm.
Nice little pad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, I mean, we could, if we had marked bills or something, I'm sure we could trace some of the money that I have spent on beer at Pirates games into that lovely fireplace he's got there.
Probably.
Which just, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
So he feels like he gets away from Starkey and now he's on national radio getting ripped by Steve Phillips and he had no idea on what to say there, which is very funny to me.
He's not going down that alley.
No. I'll tell you what, Donnie Kelly, he's good with the bullpen. Very good with the bullpen. Derek Shelton, not so much. But Derek Shelton's now so far in the rearview mirror on the list of problems with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Paul Skeens with Dan Zangrilli this weekend, in his own special way, called the Pirates out, saying that they need to be intentional with the moves that they make, that they're close, but also not close, because you've got to do the appropriate things to augment the roster for next season. They acquired 7 position players yesterday, none of whom have played in the big leagues before. And the prize of that haul, if you want to call him that, Rafael Flores has played 10 games in AAA. I would never want to put words in Paul Skenes' mouth, but I would have to think he's disappointed today. You guys did a great interview with Paul Skenes at the 5 Alarm. He was really candid with Dan Zangrilli the other day. I think if he has a problem, he'll actually voice it. How do you guys feel like he's feeling today, and do we think he's going to pop off at some point?
I don't know. I think it's at a point right now where he said what he said with Zangrilli and was pretty direct for him, that I think at this point it's kind of a lost cause in his mind, and he just goes out there and he's like, look, I'm just going to go out there and just pitch. I think he's just going to pitch and try to get through the rest of the season. And then, you know, obviously work on the things he needs to work on in the offseason and hope that they can do something. But I think that the talking and the direction, the pointed direction, I think it's kind of done with probably Skenes. He's probably like, you know what? I can't do anything. I can't do anything about this. I just got to worry about myself.
So I've got a different take that is actually, like, there's some positivity here. I think this is actually a good thing. Believe it or not, like, of all the mess that they made yesterday, how it involves Skenes is actually a good thing. Here's why. Skenes is going to get more involved here, because what they did was basically say, we're going to take care of actual team building in the offseason. We're going to free up the money right now. And again, the three of us sitting here can criticize what they're doing and say they haven't done a good enough job or whatever. Our voices mean far, far less than Paul Skenes. I hope Paul Skenes marches in there and says, what evidence do we have of them doing this? Who are we looking at? What sort of needs do you see? Because I want to tell you what needs that I see. We're going to spend this money. Okay, this is I want a voice at the table now. This is my career. He's on the MLB Players Association like subcommittee. He's not shy about it. Like, I don't think he'll do it in a like mean and disrespectful way. But I think this kind of ups the ante and gives Paul a little bit more control about what happens with this money, who's in charge of it. If you've got any displeasure with Ben Cherington, which I would imagine there's some on the inside because there's certainly a ton on the outside, man, it's time to speak up now. Let people know how you feel. The alternative would be this regime going to get a bunch of prospects that don't pan out and they stink. That'd be really bad, which they sort of did, I understand, but you got minimal return. You save some money. I don't know. I just look at it like I think this is going to open the door for Paul Skenes to be a little bit more aggressive with his thoughts, comments, and how much he involves himself with people running the show.
And if that is correct, we'll see if it changes anything. If that is the route that he would take and they would be unhappy with that, were I Paul Skenes, I would I'd be forcing it a little bit heftier.
Yeah, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? They get mad at you and trade you?
Well, so that's what I'm saying is if I'm...
Start pounding the table, man. Yeah.
And yeah. I would say, listen, I do not want to be here unless there are tangible moves made this offseason that aren't guesses that we know will improve the club next year. I would not blame him for that. And I also tweeted this earlier, like, right now... The way they're positioned, it looks unlikely that they're going to be in contention in Paul Skenes' tenure. And if that's the case, and they were to fire Ben Cherington at the end of the year, I would give the next general manager the autonomy to trade Paul Skenes if he saw fit. If he doesn't want to, great. I'd love to keep watching Paul Skenes in a Pirates uniform. I would much rather build around him. But I'd give the next guy the opportunity to assess the damage and determine whether or not that's the best course of action for the franchise. And I don't take any pleasure in saying that. They should be building around him. I tweeted last year, they have a 5-year window, the best chance in my life to see them win a World Series.
They frittered away 2 years, Adam.
They sure
How
did.
Do you bring this general manager back for a third one? You've screwed 40% of this guy's tenure. It makes me so mad. There's no urgency. You can't talk about urgency if you keep this guy.
Can we talk about Terry McLaurin next?
Sure.
Doran's defeated today.
Yeah.
Spent?
Yeah, I'm done.
He's done. I'm done.
I'm done.
You done?
Yeah.
You want more of Jason's thoughts, you can find them in a column form in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
I'm worked up, though, man.
I know.
I'm worked up.
We were worked up, And now,
yeah,
we,
you guys got it all out. I'm just coming in fresh.
Right, right.
Now we're run down.
It just makes me so mad. Like, I've been a very reasonable person with them. Very level-headed. So, like, when I get like this, there's probably a reason. I don't react like this out of nowhere. And it's just, it's really frustrating because of what this fan base does and cares about and the time they invest and going to the ballpark and all this stuff. To have it treated like this, it just stinks.
Yep.
All right.
Caboli tweeted 27 minutes ago, Jalen Ramsey is good. Really good.
Yeah, I saw that.
We got that, baby. Friday Night Lights tonight. Terry McLaurin, question mark, next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Terry McLaurin, wide receiver for the Washington Commanders, has requested a trade. NFL Network did a write-up. Six teams that could be interested, should be interested in Terry McLaurin. The Steelers not mentioned. Steelers have the ninth best odds, depending on where you look, in Vegas to trade for Terry McLaurin. They also have a ton of friggin' cap space, and they're not going to have to pay a quarterback a lot of money for like 4 or 5 years. I can't think of a reason why they shouldn't do it unless the ask is too high and would be a first-round pick or something like that.
I agree.
I'm with you. I don't think he gets moved, though. I think this is strategy.
Me too. Yeah.
McLaurin's entrenched there, man. He is the Commanders. He was there when it was crap. He's a great player. If you're gonna build, which you should be, having Jaden Daniels as their quarterback, and I mean they're set up very nicely, it makes sense to extend him. And they're a comparable extension. I know the DK Metcalf contract is being looked at a comp. If you look at their production, that's not out of bounds. I just don't see him getting moved. I think this is, you know, Myles Garrett territory. I think he's trying to get his money. I don't blame him. I don't view it as a serious topic from a Steelers point of view. Of course they should. Of course they should make the call and try. I just don't think he gets traded.
I used to dismiss a lot of Steelers topics as, hey, like, what's the point? Why would we talk about it? And then gestures wildly, the Omar Khan tenure has happened. Like, I don't think I'd be shocked if over the weekend we're reading stories the Steelers are in on Terry McLaurin at the very least.
That wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah.
Good, man. That's what pro sports should be. Even, like, that is completely coherent and fun. What Omar Khan is doing.
He can't.
Oh, I'm going back into it.
He can't.
Sorry.
He can't not
get out of it.
Juxtapose it with the Pirates.
Yep. I mean, hasn't that thought crossed your mind? Like, what Kyle Dubas is doing with the Penguins? You're like, yes, it's taken a little bit longer. No, they're not going to be very good this year, but it makes sense. I get it. You just got to wait them out. Couple years, let's have, you know, we're going to have a different conversation, but that stuff happens. We had 20 years of greatness. You're going to pay for it on the back end. The Steelers are going for it. What are the Pirates doing? I can't tell you.
You off for the rest of the day? Or
you got should I be?
You got anything else going on?
I'm actually going to go to the conference room down the hall and write a column.
Very good.
Why don't you come visit me?
Are you going to go to Friday Night Lights tonight?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Maybe
church concert I'm going to be.
Church concert?
It's going to be wild. Yep.
Is this a band I'm unfamiliar with? Church?
Sorry, it's at our church, and there's a concert that my family is going to.
Oh, sounds wholesome. Like,
it is. Wholesome family night.
Yeah. Sounds holysome.
Yeah.
Holysome.
Look what they did to you, man.
Look what you guys did to me.
It's a broken man right now.
Yes.
I think I'm going to pour myself a nice, tall draft of Guinness tonight.
Pumpkin beer, I thought.
Oh yeah, pumpkin beer from Hampton Beer Outlet. Thank you. I'm gonna get a pumpkin beer. I'm gonna crawl into my tub, and my knees are gonna be up near my chin because I don't make Derek Shelton money.
Tub.
And I'm gonna sit in my tub. I'm gonna have the window cracked open. A little cool summer air is gonna blow, and I'm just gonna relax. I'm just gonna decompress. I would suggest that for every one of the people out there listening right now.
What do you bathe in? Like a large bowl? How can you not stretch your legs out in a tub?
Yeah, you're like 5'2".
Doran and I, that's one thing.
Right.
Our
I'm
tub's
not fitting
not,
in a tub. You are.
So real.
Like, with a bunch of rubber duckies and all kinds of, I could see you in a tub.
No,
my wife cooks in things that you could fit in.
I'm a bad. I don't have a rubber ducky. It's a battleship. It's masculine. I did this like 6 months ago. I wanted to get myself a nice warm bath. My wife bought like the bath salts, you know, not the kind that you sniff, but the kind that you just actually put in the bath. And I sit down and our tub is so small and my knees are up near my nipples and I just look down and I see myself in all my glory. And I didn't want to look at that for the next half hour.
I don't want to think about that.
Just now. My raisin skin, just bathing in my own filth. It wasn't enjoyable, but I'll take another shot at it tonight. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure nasty. Crowley has a stand-up shower, not a bathtub, and he's convinced himself that that's a bathtub.
That's nasty.
All right. Good show. It was a great show today. It was. It just isn't as fun as some of the other shows that we typically do on Fridays. Jason, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jason.
Sorry for bringing down the vibes, dudes.
Oh, no, you didn't. You did not.
No, we had a nice little respite. We were talking Steelers in the middle there where we were able to kind of breathe and have fun and be free. And then Noah came on, and from 8:35 till the end of the show, just like a rain cloud over the studio. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. Doran, we'll do it again on Monday.
Yes.
5:40 a.m. Callis, good stuff. Jason, get that column done. We'll talk to Ian's. First Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Beautiful day today. High of 79, low of 59, clear skies. Enjoy it. Have some fun.